Good evening. Welcome to the Soleri Report. Today is Thursday, October 5th, 2017. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. Tonight, I want to talk about the story of Nehemiah. I once had a client who used to say, "Why do I have to understand Bible stories and B-movies to understand your metaphors and analogies?" Well, you know, I think Bible stories are one of the great ways of explaining what's going on. I want to talk about the story of Nehemiah. In the days described in the story of Nehemiah, a town would have a wall around it, and so when opposing armies would come, everybody would run and sort of get behind the wall. And if the wall broke, there would also be a tower, and so then you'd run into the tower. And so you hear different references in the Bible using wall and towers as metaphor. So the Lord is a strong tower, etc. And in the story of Nehemiah, it tells the story of where the wall was broken. And of course, whenever the wall broke, it was imperative that if you could, you rebuild the wall. You couldn't, the last thing you wanted to do was to be forced to run into the tower. So it tells the story of people who build the wall with one hand. And so they have a tool in one hand, but they have a weapon in another. Babbie Mason, who's a wonderful gospel singer, has a great song about Stand Up on the Wall that tells the story of Nehemiah. So you literally see people defending with the weapon in one hand and having to rebuild the wall with the other hand. They couldn't afford to stop building as they were defending. And it's the idea of you have to do offense at the same time you're doing defense. And when I talk about enforcing the Constitution, what I mean is when they're attacking us with false flags and disinformation, we need a weapon in one hand to deal with that, but we need to keep building and enforcing and preserving the Constitution with the other. We have to do both. It's not either or. So I want to talk tonight about false flags and what it has to do with the missing money, because in fact, what happened in Las Vegas has a great deal to do with missing money. Now it has a great deal to do with the governance system being afraid and not working. And so let's go through this. I've recommended many times, but I'm going to recommend again. If you haven't watched Richard Dolan's wonderful new series on false flags, it's on Gaia TV, and it's excellent. And I think it will very much help you get a perspective as we watch false flags accelerate. Richard spoke last year at the luncheon that we had at the 21 Club. And he talked about his new research on false flags. He's hoping to publish a book by the end of this year or early next year on false flags. And one of the things he made clear is that the technologies that have been developed, whether invisible weaponry or surveillance or entrainment technology, all these different technologies make it easier to orchestrate and create these false flags. And in fact, the number of false flags are accelerating. It's really literally become a tool of management. And but I think it helps you to get mastery of the topic, to really understand the history of this, and that this is a very old and long-standing practice, but there's no doubt there's accelerating. One of the things, probably the most interesting and important characteristic about what has just happened in Las Vegas, was how extraordinarily sloppy it was and rushed. This was certainly not the A team. It looks like the B or C team, or they were just in such a rush that it was exceptionally sloppy. And it has the feel, and this is intuition, of the Mennonite thing. In other words, one faction pushing, and possibly one faction whacking at the other. Now, what are the goals? First and foremost, to tear up the Constitution, get gun control, bury the missing money story. Make no doubt about it, the people who are doing this are very afraid of what would come out if that story really gains additional traction. And the reason is that, let's say that you can justify some of the missing money by national security issues. You know, so you can argue for an enormous black budget. But that still doesn't require putting billions of dollars into people's hands who are doing the shifting of money out of government money. All they're doing is shifting government money. They don't need to live in $50 million mansions and have millions of dollars in their offshore accounts. So, and the other thing is, you know, to participate, they created or had control files that gets you back into the pedophilia and all the other stuff. And as I've said, I've seen a cabinet secretary blackmailed over what I believe was pedophilia. I've never seen a more terrified person in my life. So when people are that terrified, they do things that can end up looking very stupid and sloppy and rushed. So I think part of what we're seeing is the Washington establishment. Some people are saying it the Democrats, but I think that's a little bit too simplistic. I think the Washington establishment is feeling that the Russia shtick isn't working, the divide and conquer is not working. Look at what they've tried with Charlottesville and some of these other ops. It's not working, and you know, so they're really worried about what they're going to do, and how do they tear up the Constitution and get gun control unless they can start a civil war. I would note, I think that there is significant disaster capitalism going on in some of the areas that the hurricane hit. For example, in Puerto Rico, I think the debt negotiations were really bogging down. They were getting too long and too complicated. And you ran the risk that too much information was coming out in either arbitrations and lawsuits. So I think there was a lot of frustration. If you look at the leadership, they have less and less patience with the sort of legal niceties. When you had Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld running things in sort of the Bush One days, they had a lot more patience and cleverness about working the process. But I think that we've reached a point where people are frustrated with it. So I think one of the things that you wanted to see was a blowout on the debt situation and getting the feds to put big money up for the people who want to take over the agriculture land. To me, Puerto Rico looks like a real land grab for very marvelous agricultural land near North America. That's another breadbasket to feed North America. So, and if you look at what's happening, the story is coming out of Puerto Rico. It looks to me like the feds are there with plenty of resources to help those who are invading and taking over, but not to help the people. Anyway, so we clearly have a disaster capitalism thing going on, and I think they would like to distract and engineer lots of money in the federal budget to help. So, but finally, there's lots of rumors floating around that they're going to push for a civil war as early as November. It looked to me like they're pushing for it in the summer of 2018 and certainly the summer of 2020. We see all sorts of bogus operators and bogus activists being financed with money laundered into them from Bitcoin. It wouldn't surprise me if Black Lives Matter and Antifa and all those folks are also getting money from Bitcoin. They could all claim anonymous donations. And so there are a lot of rumors they're trying to start a civil war, Days of Rage, in November. Could they be? Yeah, it doesn't look like it's working. So, and of course, it's very important to you and me that it not work. So whatever was the cause of this, I think it's incredibly important that you and I not fall for it. And first and foremost is our attention. Yes, we have to deal with it like we have a weapon in one hand, but we have to keep building with the other hand. If you try and fight this defensively, we lose. So we have to go on the offense. We have to enforce the Constitution. One of our team members just went to his town hall meeting with his state representative. He took a second quarter wrap up and he engaged with them. He educated them. He did the process right. We all have to do what we can do. There's an awful lot of fear porn. I'm having to yap at too many people to say stop listening to the fear porn, whether it's you got a couple guys out saying the end of the world is going to come with the IMF and World Bank meeting on October 13th and 15th in Washington. You know, that meeting's been happening for decades. And will there be tensions discussed? Yes. Is there a big bang going to happen? I give it less than a 1% chance. Then, of course, I think they are pushing for kind of civil war with young people and actors running around making a mess and wasting time. Frankly, I think the only reason any of those people are doing it is because they're getting paid. And it's costing a lot of money. And I hate to say this, I suspect that money is coming from the now $21 trillion missing from the federal budget. So you and I are financing it. Now, what do you need to do? Don't let yourself be distracted. Yes, have a weapon in one hand, but you need to build in the other hand. Use your time well. Do not spend, you know, death is the ultimate distraction entertainment. It sounds gruesome and it sounds horrible. My prayers to all the people harmed and killed and wounded in their families in Las Vegas. I don't mean to sound heartless, but please don't let yourself be distracted by it. You need to use your time well. Your investment is, the investment of your time and attention is precious. Please educate yourself. So understand false flags. Go watch the Richard Dolan series on Gaia TV. I think it will really be helpful. The second thing, provide for your own safety. I don't know if that means you need to stand for gun ownership or property rights, or you need to network with the people in your place. Everybody's different. I don't want to tell you what to do, but you certainly need to know, get to know your sheriff. Every county has a sheriff, and that sheriff has complete constitutional authority in that place. The feds can't come in without the permission and protection of the sheriff. So you need to get to know your sheriff. You need to support your sheriff. You need to enforce the Constitution, engage with other people, write and talk to your state and local officials. Don't let your state support a con. If they have, get it reversed. Other states have reversed the approvals. Go to town hall meetings, educate your representatives, educate yourself, educate everyone. I have a great piece on the different things we can do to enforce the education, but I mean, to enforce the Constitution, but it starts by reading it, talking with other people and saying, okay, how are we going to do this? Heaven's sakes, take care of your health, eat fresh food, and anything you can do to eat local and eat fresh, do it. Turn off the entrainment or just be aware when you are using smartphones, computers, all these different technologies that use entrainment. Just be aware that this stuff is operating. Ignore the fear porn. Please stop. There are people out there who every month, every quarter, they've got another reason why the end of the world is coming and then it doesn't. And they just off with a new prophecy. I mean, these are all prophecies and they come from a variety of different people. But at some point, you don't have time for that kind of entertainment. You need to use your time to advantage yourself. Finally, use scenarios for trying to understand the future. Our job is to invent our future. Our job is to create a picture of the kind of future we want to have and build that. And for planning purposes, use scenarios and turn off all the profits. Nobody knows what the future is going to be. The future is being invented, and the people who run the world are trying to invent it with street theater like Las Vegas. I don't like what they're doing, but we need to invent the world too. We can't just concede the platform and the stage to them. But use scenario thinking. We have a great Solari report on scenarios. I do scenario planning in the annual wrap-ups. And if you are worried about the worst case, for heaven's sakes, you know, do a disaster recovery kit. The people who, you know, had prepared for disasters were better off when the power went down in Kentucky or when Katrina came or the hurricane came. You need to be prepared because weather warfare is upon us. And finally, you need to enjoy your life. There's nothing, fear is a killer. It kills your mind, it kills your body, it keeps you from being coherent, which is what you need. And finally, reject hopelessness. I've been yapping people's heads off, it's hopeless. No, it's not. It's not hopeless. It's never hopeless. So, you know, you and I don't begin to have the knowledge we need to be able to document, let alone prove, or believe it's hopeless. And the reality is, we live in a world which is first and foremost spiritual. And in fact, if you look at the power of the spiritual forces of love and light, they're infinitely more powerful than anything going on in this planet. And in fact, you know, it can turn on a dime in a twinkling of an eye, is what the scripture says. And that's exactly true. The question is, when are enough of us going to gather and invite those powers in? Because in fact, it's not hopeless. I keep quoting to you my favorite quote from John Rappaport, hopelessness is an op and it's planet-wide. So it is an op, don't buy into it. if things were hopeless, we wouldn't be watching sloppy, desperate false flags happening of the magnitude we saw in Las Vegas. So focus your attention on a picture of a positive future. The thing that will ultimately turn this around is that picture of the positive. And focus on the nuts and bolts of getting yourself there. Please don't waste any time on fear porn, or don't put, don't play defense with both hands. Like the story of Nehemiah, you got to have a weapon in one hand, but you got to build with the other hand. Money and markets, U.S. dollar bounced back up. The 92 line wasn't broken. It's trading at 93, a little bit more than 93 and a quarter. Fixed income, the long treasury, has come down a little bit. It's up 6.41% for the year, but that's really a very sweet performance given what we expected from fixed income. The intermediate at 2.85%, the bond aggregate at 3.25%, and junk... How can it be at 6.37%? I've never had the courage to do that. I just think, if we get a real dip, the junk market's going to get slaughtered. Okay, equities, the S&P of 14.87%. It just ignores everything and keeps going up. Home builders up 20.5%. A European ETF, VGK, up 24.5%. Germany up 25%, the developed markets minus North America up 20.6%, large caps China 32%, small cap China up 35%, and emerging markets at 30%. So China now outperforming the emerging markets, with China small caps really the star performer now for the year. Commodities, the index down 5.83%. Gold has come off a little bit, or precious metals come off a little bit, since the dollar firmed up. So gold now at 10.55% for the year, silver at 3.84%. Oil still in the doghouse, down 18.48%. The House has passed its budget. It's another step towards tax reform. A new report out showing everybody, most people get lower taxes. Some groups get larger. And their polite way of saying it is it benefits the wealthy more than everyone else. The problem, of course, being it's politically easier for Congress to get something good for the wealthy through than Congress to get through something that's good for everybody, number one. But also, the reality is you can give a break to the wealthy and it doesn't cut much off of revenues. If you give a break to all of us, it cuts a lot, which is one of the reasons I suspect that they're just stealing $21 trillion out the back door. And, of course, that's the big enchilada, because that works out to $200,000. In fact, more, $250,000 now for a family of four. Obamacare is dead as a doornail for now, but the healthcare system is going to erode over the next year or two until somebody does something. So let's see what happens. It's certainly going to be a very interesting topic coming into the 2018 elections. There has been an unbelievable hit on Rex Tillerson. It's almost like the Ziocons just want him out. But we even saw Richard Haass at the CFR on Twitter saying he should resign. And you thought, what in the world is, the world is really in chaos when the head of the CFR would sort of hang that out on Twitter. As far as I'm concerned, Tillerson is one of the most capable people in there. If Tillerson is being organized and set up to do a bad job, I assure you it's got, then the whole place has become unmanageable, which I'm afraid it has. But it reminds me of one great political appointee at the Department of Housing and Urban Development during the first Bush administration, who said to me, just absolutely perplexed, and he was describing a group of neocons, because this is how the neocons operate, or as Cynthia McKinney would call them, the Ziocons. He said, it's like a bunch of people in the middle of the ocean on a rubber life raft going at each other with razor blades. And that's exactly what it feels like. And the reality is they've lived so long with the benefits of a reserve currency. You know, that there's no concept of responsibility for the whole. Everybody's just out for themselves and going at each other with razor blades, and they don't seem to notice that the ship that they're on could sink. And it's the same concept I always use of the scorpion who can't resist stinging someone else even if it means the frog drowns and he drowns with it. Our hero this week is big. I wanted to give a nod to the EU, who blocked Monsanto in Europe. Can you believe it? EU finally is getting rid of Monsanto. Monsanto managed to buy their way into arguably the worst corporate band on the planet, although I don't think they're the worst. I think there's some that are even worse than Monsanto, which is hard to imagine. Let's go to the movies. I wanted to recommend to you a documentary called Deep Web. It's the story of the prosecution of Ross Ulbricht for his role in the Silk Road website. When I was in Aspen, I heard a very impressive speech by his mother, Lynn Ulbricht, and I donated to Ross's legal defense fund, and I recommend it to you as well. You can support the effort at freeross.org. If you listen to the story, it's long and complicated, and the documentary does a fairly good job of telling it, but I think Lynn does an even better job. I believe Ross Ulbricht's version of events, that he was framed by falsified digital records. And I must tell you, I watched it, and it had a chilling impact on me, because all I could think about was, "There but the grace of God go I." When the U.S. government seized our offices, the HUD IG falsified evidence, and we were lucky. A property manager watched it and gave us an affidavit documenting the efforts to falsify evidence. We turned it into the court, who did absolutely nothing. I mean, it was quite amazing. They could just break the law and break the law and break the law, and you know, and no one would enforce against them. There was no one you could go to the courts. We were dealing with a judge who was the former general counsel of the CIA. And when we turned it into the special master, they said, "Oh, well, that's SOP." And I didn't know what SOP was. So I called somebody who used to work in the IG's office. And he said, "Oh, that's standard operating procedure. If you can't find any evidence of wrongdoing, you just frame them on an obstruction of justice charge." Well, the charge that they tried to frame us on was that we were obstructing justice. But of course, the question was, well, why? Why would we be obstructing justice? What were we trying to hide? Well, when we went into the office after the HUD IG left, after the effort to do the false frame on obstruction of justice, they left in the evening and we went in at midnight when the court date came off. So it was 12:01. And we got the main servers and got them out of the building and into our law firm. And the next morning, the facilities manager was in the office and the HUD IG staff came back and they walked into the server room. And apparently, I wasn't there. My facilities manager was there. They turned white as a sheet and said, "Where are the servers?" And the facilities manager said, "We came in and took them last night." And the guy said, "But you can't do that." And he said, "Of course we can do that. There are computers and we took them. You backed them up and we took them." And he said, "You don't understand. I'm under strict orders that you may not keep a copy of the knowledge." Well, why would that be? There's several reasons. One is we had promised we'd cleansed off all the databases of HUD mortgage data because they were trying to make sure that the data that would prove that they were engaged in massive mortgage fraud, you know, wasn't available, is what I believe. But the other thing is, I think they were planning on falsifying a frame just like they did, exactly like they did on Ross Ulbricht. And then they couldn't do it because we had a copy of all the records. So they couldn't make anything up because we had the servers and we could prove that, you know, it was just false. So again, I looked at it and I think that's why it's so important to understand the absolute importance of enforcing the Constitution. Because whether it's stealing $21 trillion or falsifying evidence against people, we're dealing with a force which is completely and utterly lawless. And unfortunately, they're using the powers and the authorities of the central government to engage in that lawlessness. And so the reality is, story of Nehemiah, we're going to need a weapon in one hand, and we're going to need a tool to build in the other hand. So let's rebuild the wall. The wall has been our or the Constitution has been our wall, and it's being torn down, and we need to rebuild it. At the same time, we need to push back on any of these false flags or other sort of fake news, fake science, fake other efforts to basically compromise our life, our health, and our freedoms. Our interview this week is with Franklin Sanders. He joined me to give an update on the precious metals market. The dollar's firmed since then, and so precious metals have traded off. But if you you look at it right now, it's a buyer's market. Franklin and I talk about how Bitcoin is the new GLD. It's sucked a tremendous amount of money, it feels to us, out of the precious metals market. And I think as wherever the dollar sorts out, somewhere in here, we're going to get a real buying opportunity. Because I think the smart money continues to buy gold and land and real assets. You know, you don't do weather warfare in Puerto Rico and take over all the agricultural land unless land is very valuable. So don't be fooled, but I think there's a real opportunity here when the dollar, you know, once the dollar finishes its firming, I think the price will be attractive, and I'll be watching that closely. Franklin and I then talk a lot about the what we can do to enforce the Constitution. It's why it's so important. Franklin has spent his whole life studying these issues, so it's always an interesting conversation, and it's amazing how all of us keep coming back to the criticality now of not letting them tear the rest of the wall down and, in fact, rebuilding the wall. It's the same with Joseph Farrell, who I had a great talk with for News Trends and Stories, which we'll publish the next week. Ask Catherine. Hi, Catherine. Better late than never. Well, here's my report from June. Was separated via emergency from my new PC, and he goes into a long story about CBD oil and how he believes it saved a friend's life and how what marvelous things it's doing for his health. And I have very similar reports from other people about CBD oil. I know very little about it, but I get the same reports. And of course, being in Colorado, I was hearing some lovely reports about what is happening thanks to the legalization there. So I appreciate that report. Catherine, I'm sharing this so appropriate and why I became a subscriber and doing my own research. As you stated, it only takes a few dedicated people for change in consciousness. And then they sent me an analysis inspired by reading Dr. Bruce Lipton. The do's and don'ts of evolution. One, don't try to change other people. If you go to change negative energy with your positive energy, it's called destructive interference. You lose your energy, they lose their energy, and nobody gains anything in the process. Two, focus on yourself and finding like-minded people to create a community in which all your energies are enhanced. Two, don't try to change the system. If you charge in with your wonderful energy to try and change it, your energy will be canceled. You come out with your tail between your legs asking, what the hell was that all about? Do put your energy into constructing a new system. If you build a better system, people in the old one will gravitate to the new. Three, don't spend your life protesting. Your life is energy. Too much protesting will cost you your life because the system is not going to feed the energy needed for your protests. Do find others protesting with you. Gather them together and step out of the system. Use your energy for construction rather than destruction, and find other compatible communities. That's constructive interference, when energies come together and multiply each other. Four, don't be frightened or angry or burned out. Those responses create walls that block your evolution and everyone else's. Do create the best and healthiest and happiest experience for yourself and share it with the community. So here's my response. This is great advice for your personal life or running your business with lawful people. It's absolutely dreadful advice when somebody is stealing from you or trying to kill you. So if you read Axelrod, I would really encourage you to read The Evolution of Cooperation. The winning player is the player who plays tit for tat, which means if somebody whacks you, you whack them back, but you'll always go back to cooperating. So you don't like to fight, you don't start wars, you prefer cooperating, you prefer creating prosperity, but you will not allow yourself to be stolen from. And this is very important because what you're seeing encouraged with all the activists who are, you know, sort of pitching to young people, it's like, oh, the Constitution is old, that's so negative, let's go create something new. You know, the Constitution is outdated, you don't need it. The activist at Aspen, literally, Harry Blazer stood up and he said, I've been paying into Social Security all my life. Are you telling me that I'm not going to get it? And he says, well, you need to face that you're a victim of a Ponzi scheme and not be so materialistic. I couldn't believe it. It's like, oh, you know, the Constitution is old. It's not groovy. We need to go off and do a new thing. Well, if you go off and do a new thing and then we steal it from you, and then you go off and do a new thing and then we steal it from you, and you go off and do a new thing and then we steal it from you, you see how those economics work. So what is excellent, excellent advice for your personal life or running your business is terrible advice for enforcing against somebody who's trying to kill you. So we need to look at the whole ecosystem and apply Dr. Bruce Lipton where it's appropriate. But remember, the intelligence agencies will use this as new age BS to basically steal all your money and keep it. And the reality is, whether it's vaccine injury to your kids or aluminum, you know, dropping on your heads or fluoride in your water, somebody's trying to kill you. And the reality is, if we just pretend it's not happening and do some new agey, you know, let's get together and be groovy, it's not going to work. So anyway, so please differentiate again between how you build, because you do want to build with like-minded people and you do want to create a positive picture and you don't want to waste time fighting with people. But the reality is, if somebody is breaking the law and stealing from you or your family or killing you and your kids, you're going to have to stop it, which is why I keep telling you, get to know your sheriff. Okay, so my attitude is, when it comes to enforcing the Constitution, be difficult. It's better than dying or living in a mind-controlled soup. And I really encourage you to read The Evolution of Cooperation, because there's some great ideas in there, including of the importance of transparency to making the process of disagreeing with people, you know, much less painful. Because if you turn on the lights and all the establishment are, you know, being videotaped, engaged in pedophilia, they'll be a lot less dangerous. To show you how absolutely ridiculous the sort of new agey thing applied to the Constitution is, I got an invitation from a group that is said to be financed by the Koch brothers. It's called the 2017 Conference on Voluntary Governance on the Constitution of Order in a Self-Governing Society. I swear to God, the Constitution of Order, Self-Governing Society. Isn't this groovy? So I sent her back, and I put a link in the notes. If you go to philanthropicenterprise.org, you can look at the conference platform. And it's all these high-paid academics getting together and talking about, oh, let's self-govern and reorganize and come up with a voluntary constitution. So I wrote to her, because it's somebody I've met by before, and I said, in reviewing the agenda, I was deeply disappointed to see no sessions on how we enforce the U.S. Constitution. There is now $21 trillion of undocumentable adjustments in U.S. federal government accounts since fiscal 1998 at DOD. See documentation here. If we cannot enforce the existing law, particularly as it relates to the appropriation clause, then there will be no money to fund a wide variety of obligations, including retirement and health care obligations to the citizens. Consequently, I would recommend to you that if we're going to support hidden taxes of $65,000 per person and growing, there will be and can be no self-governance, only entertaining conferences about self-governance while Rome burns. I recommend you add the economics into the equation, including the dire urgency enforcing the covenant we share. Anyway, so these are all efforts to build sort of justifications for why the Constitution is old and we can tear it up. And of course, all of it is financed by the people who now have the $21 trillion. False flag. There is a video of what should be muzzle flashes from the fourth floor, not just from the 32nd floor. The casualties are real. I know of real people killed and wounded. The amount of crazy is escalating, and I'm just wondering what your take is. The video I saw in Las Vegas was the flashes, I thought, from the 12th floor. So it's inconceivable to me that the guy who was the is said to be an alleged shooter was one. It's inconceivable to me that the guy was the shooter, but two, it's inconceivable to me that you had one shooter. If you look at the videotapes of the flashes coming from what looked to be the 12th floor, it looked to me like there were multiple shooters. And what's interesting is it takes the crowd a while to figure out which way to run. So you can tell they're very confused about where the shots are coming from, which might indicate that they were coming from multiple directions. And yes, false flags are escalating. Again, I strongly recommend you watch Richard Dolan's series. I just think it's great background. And I think they're going to keep escalating. And I would ask that we all pray for the people doing this because they are very, very scared. And I can appreciate why they're scared. Again, I've seen people who were terrified about the kind of things coming out that are going to come out. I don't think there's any way they can stop them from coming out. Yes, they're very scared, but so I would ask, because by praying for them, I think it's easier to understand their point of view, and it can lower the tension. So I'm a great believer in praying for your enemies. Dear Catherine, why don't we organize a huge class action lawsuit against the Treasury, asking the court to suspend all tax payments until they produce audited financial statements? I don't think that we want to suspend tax payments. I think we want to continue tax payments, but I don't think a class action lawsuit is the best way to go. I think we need to do state and local escrows and assert control of the cash payments, but make sure those cash payments continue to fund necessary things. So I don't like the idea of imploding the government or asking a court to implode the government. I want to make sure the money gets to the right place. I don't want the cash flows to stop, but I think the cash flows need to have adult supervision asserted over them. And so that's why I like the idea of state and local responsibility to make sure the money is in the escrow. You can send money to the government for the federal debt. You can send money for military. You can send money for Social Security. But you can also say, you know, all those state and local things you fund, you know, something, we'll take care of it here, but we'll give you a complete report. So you can make sure the money is spent lawfully, and that'll give you the ability to re-engineer things, make them much more efficient locally. Again, make sure to read the section on how to enforce the Constitution with a description of some of my ideas on the in the second quarter wrap-up. Dear Catherine and Dr. Farrell, it's somebody who goes on for a long, long time and says, you know, that things are changing. We're seeking unity and harmony, cooperation, compassion. We're preparing for major shift. Good people and good intentions are coming over. We're putting aside service to self, to service to others, and empowering the life-affirming and nurturing power of the feminine. Okay, so here's what I think. This is the same kind of New Age BS, frankly, that I associate with the intelligence agencies pushing. I think we need to reaffirm the fundamental values in the De Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and the Constitution. We need to stop with the New Age disassociation and mind control and get back to basics. One is that 100% of the money needs to be managed and spent lawfully. And we need to go from being a lawless country to a lawful country. We need to get back under the umbrella of the law. And that means getting back under the umbrella of functioning as a human society as opposed to a society that is increasingly inhuman. So it's pretty simple. And if you understand how the money and the economics work, you can see how simple it is. So stop with all this yah-yah and let's get back to basics, which is what are our obligations? How are we going to meet our obligations? And how do we stop behaving illegally and spending our money illegally? And how do we stop supporting people who are behaving illegally? So that reminds me, you know, where do you bank? If you bank at one of the big New York Fed or San Francisco Fed member banks, you know, who's the problem? You're putting money, you know, you're putting gas into their tank. Okay, Catherine, have you read the recent report by LaRouche on Mueller? It's up on their site. It's lengthy, but worth the read. I'll take a look. The LaRouche Group, in my experience, does some pretty good research, so I always find information. You said, you're my hero, one of your faithful followers, subscribers. Thank you for all you do. Thank you. Thank you for your kind words. Dear Catherine, thank you for the Dr. Skidmore interview. When I think about how far $19 trillion, now $21 trillion, could pay off the national debt or pay off every mortgage twice over, or how it could fund the nation's pensions three times over, plus pay off all student loans, well, the amount of good that recovering our money would do, it's very sobering. Was wondering if that money went into building up China and perhaps India. Then I don't see how we can get it back, even with common law offsets. Yes, you can, because if you assert ownership, you get the dividends. So you can get it back. Our assets build up the infrastructure of sovereign government countries. Well, doesn't that mean that the assets have been well placed beyond our reach? No, it doesn't. If you own the assets, you get the dividend. If you get the dividend, you finance what you need. I don't see the Chinese saying, no problem, go ahead and cancel our debts to you. I have a saying that when your heroes become zeros, you need a new paradigm. The Salieri Report perfectly fills in the blanks. Although so many others, I was pretty afraid when the realities of the world started to show up for me. Your valuable insights give me hope and sanity. Thanks. Hope you're doing well, very well. This is from my friend, the Rebel Commander. Okay, P.S. Who would ever thought that Men in Black would be a documentary that Jupiter Sending would show who is running our planet? Quote, your Earth is a small part of a very large industry, and an American president would be a total fantasy. Anyway, I think it's very important when I try and stay in a state of amusement, and I think it's important because, to me, what we need to always be turtling towards is a picture of things working successfully. And there's so many great people in the world, and there's not only so many great people, but so many great people, you know, doing what they can. I keep remembering the video of a market, you got six citizens on a CNN show, and they're trying to run their op on Charlottesville and say, you know, this was some white sexist guy, and the host is pushing, trying to push the white nationalist sexist male thing. And there's this wonderful black woman, and the woman says, well, it was a white nationalist that killed the woman who was protesting. And the black woman said, wait a minute, you know, that's not why she got killed. She got killed because the police stood down. Why did the police stand down? And the CNN hostess was just, you could see, her whole balloon was popped and she didn't know how to handle it or what to say. And all I could think was, God love Americans. This is why I love the American people. Then we got one question in reference to David Ray Griffin interview. The link on the internet to Paul Thompson's timeline you mentioned during this interview does not work. I've not been able to find the timeline elsewhere. Either, is there someone to find it? Yes, Paul published it as a book. It's called The Terror Timeline, and it's absolutely available online. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that's it in closing. We have Harry Blaser and I have recorded a special interview called Bitcoin the Op. I strongly recommend we'll try and get it up next week. I absolutely believe that Bitcoin is the most sophisticated financial op I've seen. Unfortunately, we see the White House using the Equifax incident as an excuse to say, oh, Social Security could be put on the blockchain. Well, if you have cryptocurrencies on the blockchain and you have Social Security on the blockchain, you're looking at the mark of the beast, and that's not good. October 12th, we have the third quarter wrap-up, News, Trends, and Stories, part one with Dr. Joseph Farrell. We had a fantastic conversation. I got in the car, I drove all the way to Joseph's house, and we did both part one and part two. It was a very juicy conversation. There's so much explosive news going on, we just stepped back and said, look, we're going to talk about what's really important. And so part one, which is geopolitics and economy and financial markets, will be next week. And then the following week, October 19th, we'll do culture, science and technology, inspiration, unanswered questions, and go local. So very great, juicy conversation as always with Joseph. And his new book is out. I'll put up a review of it next week. So lots of great content. We have great interviews from, I did an interview with Strongtown's Chuck Marone. That is going to go up next week, and a great interview with Forum Borealis over in Norway, and that is up on the website as well. So lots of great stuff, lots of content for you. And so until next week, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, then you need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.